President Biden recently withdrew all or almost all U.S. troops from Afghanistan, and the decision was widely celebrated among people who think that this long war needs to be over and U.S. troops need to come home. But his decision also garnered a lot of criticism from people who are looking at stability in the region. Can you talk about your reaction to his decision?
It's complicated. You know, like you, I lived in New York City when 9/11 happened and watched the towers fall and, you know, and went to a peace vigil in Union Square, I think 3 days after 9/11, because, you know, we knew that war was coming and we knew that that was the wrong reaction. But that is a different issue than what's happening right now in Afghanistan. And after 20 years of U.S. involvement, it's more complicated than whether you're in favor of the war, you're against the war, or you think that U.S. troops should be out around the world being involved in what's happening in other countries or not. The situation on the ground in Afghanistan is that the U.S. has really, you know, played a kind of colonial role in Afghanistan for the last 20 years, has decided at times who should lead the country, has empowered some very bad actors to reap a lot of benefits from the money that's flowed in, has created barriers to accountability for war crimes. So a lot of the dysfunction that you see in Afghanistan now was created or enabled by the U.S. So there's not just the issue of whether the U.S. should leave, but also how the U.S. should leave. And I'm really angry with Joe Biden, to be honest. I was angry with Trump, of course. But when Biden came in, I expected that we would see a more humane approach and an approach that focused on what impact our actions would have on people in Afghanistan, on the Afghan people. And I don't think we've seen that at all. I think we've seen Biden sort of using the bad situation created by the Trump administration as an excuse to sort of say, well, not my fault, but nothing I can do, got to go. That's having enormous harm already. Just in the weeks since Biden made the announcement that all troops would leave by September 11th, we've seen the Taliban sweeping across the country and grabbing more and more territory. Just in the last few days, they've begun to really rapidly seize control of provincial capitals. And we see that everywhere they go, they are engaging in human rights abuses, engaging in war crimes, and that their attitudes toward women and girls are pretty much identical to what they were in 2001. So closing girls' schools, ordering that women can't leave their homes without a male family member, attacking women in high-profile positions like teachers and healthcare workers and people who've been involved in local politics or national politics. I'm fielding a ton of requests from Afghan friends who are trying to figure out how they can have a way out of the country, given the likelihood that they're going to need to run for their lives. And I just think it didn't have to be this way. You don't have to feel like the U.S. should stay forever. There's a way that the U.S. could have handled this situation with more compassion. Another example of that is the fact that the U.S. government seems to have given pretty much zero thought before making this announcement to what would happen to people like military interpreters and human rights activists who have been directly associated with the U.S. government and who are likely to be killed because of that.
And they number in the hundreds, right?
Oh, no, in the tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands of interpreters.
That's right, yes. So I think there are 80,000 people waiting right now for SIV visas, which are these special visas for people who've played that type of role.
And those killings have already started, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. There are too many stories about people who were killed while fighting desperately to get their application to move forward and to cut through this bureaucracy, which has felt for a long time like on paper, there was this opportunity to leave if you needed to, but in reality, the bureaucracy would choke you to death.
You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm speaking with Heather Barr from Human Rights Watch about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Heather, what is the solution? Could the U.S. have arranged for transport of all of those military interpreters to this country? What could the administration have done?
They could have made a plan. They could have processed those applications in a timely and compassionate way for, you know, the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. It's more useful to focus on what can they do now. They have expanded a bit the criteria for who can be eligible for those visas, but the processing time and the bureaucracy involved is still meaning that that promise of escape is illusory for a lot of people. I also want to focus more, though, on what's happening in Afghanistan for people in general, because obviously evacuating Afghans is not going to solve the problem for more than a very small handful of people. And the U.S. is deeply responsible for everything that's happening in the country. I mean, things like the way that the Afghan army is struggling without air support and struggling with supply lines that mean that, you know, some soldiers don't have food. This is an army that the U.S. military built. And if it's failing at this critical moment, then it's not right for the U.S. to walk away. And I think this was really the message of this speech that Joe Biden gave just after the 4th of July. It's kind of his big speech on Afghanistan. He essentially said, we've given the Afghans everything they need to succeed. And if they fail at this point, that's their fault, not ours. And that is a deeply ahistorical view of what's actually happened in Afghanistan, and a really cruel and disingenuous one.
Some would say that looking at the situation of women and girls, Taliban control of all of these areas, that Afghanistan is no worse off now than it was in 2001. The U.S. never should have had a role. It shouldn't have a role now. But something you said earlier about colonialism makes me want to ask you about the responsibility that a state that has colonized another has in its stability. Can you speak to those notions?
I think an interesting thought experiment is to imagine what Afghanistan might be like right now if 9/11 hadn't happened, or if the U.S. response to 9/11 was not to invade Afghanistan. I don't know the answer to that question. No one does. It's unknowable. But perhaps the Afghan people would have overthrown the Taliban. Perhaps the Taliban would have been forced to moderate some of their extreme policies because of pressure from the population. We just don't know that. And to sort of say, well, you know, you're not any worse off now. Well, first of all, that's not true. Thousands and thousands of people have been killed because of the conflict that's been going on for the last 20 years, which was triggered by the U.S. invasion. And also, the Taliban's policies toward women and girls were abhorrent and disgusting in 2001. But in 2021, women's rights globally have moved forward in some important ways, not enough ways, of course, and going backwards in a few places. But, you know, we have different expectations now for what gender equality should really mean and should look like. And that makes the Taliban's policies even more intolerable. And I mean, one of the things that people say often when you talk about aid funding, which is another huge important issue in Afghanistan, because more than 75% of the government's budget comes from international aid money, and that money's been falling steadily for about 7 years now. One thing people say is, well, you know, there's tons of countries that have problems, you know, what about Yemen and Somalia and South Sudan and so on? And my response to that is, you know, yes, of course, those countries have huge needs too, and we should be caring about them too. But Afghanistan is a bit unique in the extent to which it has in some ways been run by the U.S. for the last 20 years in a way that no other country has been. And I do think that that makes the U.S. inextricably tied to what happens there, including what happens to women and girls.
We only have a moment left. I'm wondering if you have any concluding thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think that continuing or even increasing aid funding is one very important thing, which frankly wouldn't cost very much in the greater scheme of things for the U.S., but would mean the difference between life and death for a lot of Afghans. The visa issue that you've talked about is really important. And then a third thing I would mention is that the Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission has been raising the issue that there's no accountability at all for war crimes that are happening in Afghanistan, such as the attack on a girls' school in Kabul that killed about 80 high school girls a couple months ago, and an attack that killed a bunch of D miners who were removing, you know, old explosive ordnance. And I mean, I couldn't I could go on and on listing different attacks, but the point is that there's no investigation, there's no accountability. And so the Human Rights Commission in Afghanistan, and now the Afghan government as well, has called for the UN to send a fact-finding mission to gather evidence and investigate these war crimes with the hopes that there will be prosecutions later. And I think that that is a really important measure, because not only could it provide some accountability, but it could also send a message to people who are committing these crimes against civilians that there will be accountability and perhaps deter some of the violence.
I really appreciate you taking a moment to talk to me about this horrible situation.
Thank you so much for being interested.